Good morning. It's a great privilege and responsibility to be able to share with you this morning from God's Word. And I want to thank you for that privilege. And it's great to be able to look out and see so many friends. If you're visiting with us, my name is Henry Rouse. And you're not going crazy. I talk funny. It's my southern accent. So bear with us. You know, when I was roughly 22 years of age, I was attending church and I was part of a young adults Bible study group. And after the Bible study one night, one of the young adult leaders pulled me aside. And they said, "Henry, can I have a word with you?" Now, this was a man that I had looked up to and respect for. And so I was interested to know what he wanted to talk to me about. And as he started, I felt really good. He said, "Henry, I've noticed that you're a very smart young man." I felt pretty good. I felt like I was 6 inches taller. And then he said, "But you're not very wise." Kind of like the balloon. I just shrank. But he was a man that I wanted to listen to. He was someone I respected. And what he was trying to tell me was that, "Henry, you talk too much." It's not funny. You talk too much. You've got a lot of good things to say in the Bible study and in the meetings that we have, but you've got to let other people say stuff too. You need to learn the wisdom of knowing when to talk and when to shut up. That day I started a journey, if you like, of seeking to be wise in this area of my life. My wife might tell you that I haven't improved much, but I'm trying. I want to be wise. I think we all want to be wise. I want my children to be wise as well. 3 of our children attend the local elementary school. And the school has a motto, and I'm not sure if it's a local thing or if it's the whole district, but they drumming it into the kids' head, this motto: "We are college bound." We are college bound. Because going to college, they're going to learn so much. Going to college, they're going to get a good education. They're going to have success in life if they can stick at it and go to college. And it almost seems like the secret to success is going to college. Now, I think education is a good thing. And I will encourage my children to pursue their education. But I've also noticed this. There are plenty of intelligent, well-educated people that are not very wise. Education doesn't by itself produce wisdom. But I think we all want to be wise. So the question for us this morning is, how do we become wise? Where do we find wisdom? And I want to suggest that we become wise by starting our search for wisdom in the right place. We're starting today the new preaching series, and it's entitled Ancient Wisdom for Today's World. And over the next few months, we're going to be looking at a number of texts in the Bible, and we're going to learn some ancient wisdom, some of it written 3,000 years ago or more. Can wisdom from that long ago be relevant to today? We're going to look at parts of the Bible, some of the books that are called the books of wisdom. We're going to be looking at Job and Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and even Song of Solomon. I know some of you have had a sneak peek at that. That's going to be interesting. We're going to be asking ourselves, what can we learn from these ancient books, from this ancient wisdom? This morning, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. And we're going to see two things. There are two instructions about becoming wise. There's something to do and there's something to believe. We're going to be told to obey God's instructions. It's pretty simple, isn't it? We're going to be told to obey God's instructions, and we're going to be told to believe that his instructions are good. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and let's read verses 7 to 9. It says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." And most of the book of Proverbs, the wisdom in this book, were written by Solomon. Verse 1 says, it's an introduction, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." 3,000 years ago, roughly, Solomon, the great king of Israel, God's chosen nation. And how did he become so wise? He's known as the wisest man that ever lived. The story is found in 1 Kings 3. It's the story of how God appeared to this new king in a dream one night. And God said to Solomon, "What can I give you? What can I do for you?" And Solomon, think of it, he could have asked for anything. But very humbly, he says, "Lord, who am I to lead these people?" He's not a child, but he says, I'm just a child. Who am I? I need a heart of understanding. I need wisdom to lead your people. And God says, good answer. You could have asked for wealth. You could have asked for victory over your enemies. You could have asked for a long life. But because you were humble and you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you wisdom. You will be the wisest man that ever lived. There will be no one like you before you or after you. And because of the wisdom of your request, I'm also going to give to you riches and victory over your enemies and all these other things. And if you obey me and if you keep my commandments, I will prolong your life. And I know sometimes when we look at Solomon, we get caught up at the end of his life with the hundreds of wives and all the things that he did wrong. But let's not forget, for the majority of his life, he was perhaps the most successful king of Israel and took that nation to its pride of place where it had never been before. And we have the wisdom of Solomon here for us. He writes down to pass on to others the wisdom that he gained over his lifetime. And these few verses are just the introduction. Right at the beginning to say, I've got something really important to say about how we can become wise. And the first thing that Solomon says to his son about becoming wise is very simple. He says, obey God. Obey God's instructions. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Obey God's instructions. Have you ever seen the film City Slickers? It's an old one. It's pretty funny. The basic story is this. Three middle-aged guys, city folk, their lives are in a mess. They're going through midlife crisis. Their relationships are terrible. Their jobs are terrible. Everything's bad. They decide to fix all their problems. They're going to go out west, get back to the way it used to be, and go on a 2-week cattle drive. So they do. On this cattle drive, they meet Curly. Curly is the grumpy old cowboy. He's tough and rough and rugged, but he seems to have it together. And one day, when one of these men, Mitch, is riding on their horse down the trail, he's talking with Curly, is complaining about life, complaining about his problems. And Curly says to him, "You city folk, you're all the same. You spend 50 weeks of the year tying yourself up in knots. And you come out here and you think that in 2 weeks you can untangle everything. You just don't get it." And Mitch says, "What do you mean?" Curly says, "The secret of life is this." And Mitch says, "Your finger?" "No, the secret of life is one thing, just one thing. And if you stick to that, nothing else matters." And Mitch says, "What's the one thing?" And Curly says, "That's what you've got to figure out." Just like Curly, I think Solomon says the secret to being wise is this. One thing. The secret to being wise is just one thing. Verse 7, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. I think it's important as we look at the Proverbs and most of the wisdom literature that we understand it's poetry. It's a little different to a narrative where you tell a story. It's poetry, and there's a whole lot of imagery and pictures and figures of speech that are used. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That's only half of the line. The other half is, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." We have these three words, knowledge, wisdom, instruction. And Solomon's not trying to say there's three different things that you've got to get and get. It's all one thing. They're synonyms. It'd be like me writing a poem saying, "My wife is beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful and lovely." And I'm kind of just saying one thing. I don't want you to go get a dictionary and look up all those individual words. The secret to wisdom, the secret to a life of wisdom is to fear the Lord. And I think we need to stop just for a second and understand what it means to fear the Lord. You see, I grew up believing I knew what the fear of the Lord was. I believed that I was this tiny and God was this big, and he could squish me like a bug if I didn't do the right thing. And I was afraid of God. I was afraid to put a foot right. I was afraid to have any fun thinking that God might go, "No, stop having fun." I was afraid of God. I've come to believe this is not the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is not an emotional response of fear. It's not cowering before God, afraid to upset him or make him angry. Maybe we get confused when we say, "I'm going to put the fear of God into you." You've heard that phrase? That's not the same as the fear of the Lord. And you ask some people and they will say, "Well, the fear of the Lord, it's respect. It's reverence. It's awe." It is. But it's so much more. You know, if we do a search, you go home, get on your Bible program on your computer and do a search for the fear of the Lord, you'll find it comes up dozens of times. And it's important to understand the context that it's in. Here's a few. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to keep God's commandments. The fear of the Lord is to observe the law. It's to walk in his ways. It's to hate evil. It's to walk in uprightness. It's to greatly delight in God's commandments. It's something you can learn. And it's something that we're told to teach our children. It's about obedience. It's about how we live as people in relationship with our God, knowing who God is and who we are. And if I had to give you a succinct definition, I would say something like this. The fear of the Lord is living in humble obedience to God based on being in a right relationship with him. And the funny thing is that when you're in a right relationship with God, you're not afraid of Him. When you truly fear the Lord, fear is gone. And it's replaced with humble obedience. So Solomon tells his son that gaining wisdom begins with and is founded on the fear of the Lord. If you don't live in obedience, you don't fear the Lord. And you will miss out on true wisdom. So becoming wise is done by living in humble obedience to God. And you might ask the question, well, how do we know how to obey? Solomon tells us in verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Obey the wisdom that has been passed down." This is much more than just, hey, son, you need to obey your mum and dad. I know, you know, us parents, we'd love to just rip that verse out of context and just throw it at our kids. Listen to my instruction. Don't forget what your mum told you. It's more than that. You see, in Israel, God's wisdom had been passed down from generation to generation in the law. And the law was a covenant between God and his people. And it was given to make Israel different, distinct, to stand out among all the other nations. And this covenant relationship between God and Israel, it's spelled out several times in the Old Testament, particularly in Deuteronomy chapters 28 to 30. You might want to look at that sometime. There's a formula there. Obedience equals blessing. For Israel, obedience to the law displayed their relationship with God. It's not just a bunch of rules to make life difficult. So Solomon exhorts his son to hear. If you have a different translation, it might say, listen. And the idea behind that is not just hear and listen with the ear, but it's to hear and obey. And don't forsake your mother's teaching. That's an interesting word. If you've got the King James, it says, do not forsake your mother's law. It's the same word. Don't forsake what's been passed down to you. Obey the law. Follow the instructions of God. Because there's another kind of person. The person who's not wise. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise the instructions of God and they forsake them. They leave them behind. They go their own way. And the Bible is full of stories of people who have rejected God's instructions. And we see the disastrous consequences in their lives. And you know what I find most interesting is that Solomon is passing these things on to his son, perhaps the future king of Israel. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, Solomon's son takes the throne, Rehoboam. And his life is a mess. And in his lifetime, the kingdom of Israel is split because he forsook the wisdom of God. You know, but Israel had the law. We have so much more than the law. We have the whole Bible. We have God's word. And yet we face the temptation to go looking in other places for wisdom. We look to science or philosophy or politics or other places to find wisdom. But the instruction for us today is simple. If we want to be wise, we will seek to obey the instructions that God has given us in his word. We pursue wisdom by living in obedience to God's word. And like the commercial, but wait, there's more. It's not just a command to obey. When we're just given commands, it's hard. Commands sound negative to us for some reason. Solomon gives us something else. He gives us something to believe, which helps motivate us to obey. Verse 9. speaking about the father's instruction, the mother's teaching, the law, he says, indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. God's instructions are beautiful. We've got a picture here which pictures the instructions of God like a diamond tiara, like a gold and jeweled necklace, a beautiful thing, something that adds life and color and beauty. How are God's instructions like a graceful wreath or ornaments? How are they like that? Because they display the beauty of God. The instructions of God display the beauty and the beautiful character of God. You remember Israel? They were meant to be a light to the nations. As they obeyed God's law, God's instructions, they were to shine out as people living in relationship with God. And their obedience to God and the results of it were an invitation for others to come in. Solomon tells his son that as he leads the nation in obeying these instructions of God, he is displaying the beauty of the wisdom of God. And so for us today, like Solomon's son, like the people of Israel, we need to believe that God's instructions are good and that obeying them brings the blessing of a beautiful life. You know, often we look at the laws, the instructions, the commands in Scripture, and we don't look at them as something beautiful. We see them sometimes like a ball and chain, tying us down, stopping us doing what we want, stopping us from having fun. They're heavy burdens around our neck. They're restrictive. Really? Really, when you think about it, when you go through the instructions that God gives us, they all speak to two things: how to honor God as our Creator and how to treat other people with respect as his creations. And Jesus sums up the whole law in two simple things in the New Testament. He says the whole law is summed up in this: love the Lord your God with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But like the fool, sometimes we despise the restrictions. We don't trust the instructions of our Heavenly Father, and we reject his word. Friends, we need to see that God's instructions are the means of displaying his beauty for others to see. As we obey, as we display his character and his beauty, we're inviting other people to him. The blessing of a beautiful life doesn't mean everything will go well for us. We're not promised a life of comfort, of health and wealth. But we are promised that despite whether our lives bring us pleasure or pain, we can still display the beauty of God by living in humble obedience to him. As I was thinking about this, the best example I could think of was Felicity's mother. Carolyn had numerous medical issues throughout her life. She suffered kidney failure, and she spent the rest of her life in and out of hospital for dialysis and eventually a kidney transplant and so many other things. She spent weeks, months in hospitals or just lying in bed at home, unable to do anything. Constantly in pain. Life was a struggle. The circumstances of her life were not beautiful. But her relationship with God was strong. And she lived as best as she could in humble obedience to him. She shared her love for Jesus with anyone that would listen. When she was able to, when she had the strength, she served others. She literally, I'll tell you the story later, she literally took in strangers into her own home. She opened her house for hospitality, for dinners and parties and all sorts of things whenever she was strong enough. And she served without complaining. What other people didn't see after they had gone home were the days spent in bed recovering from serving other people. One time, she was rushed to hospital before she could pack any things together. It's amazing that her testimony of following Christ was so strong that the non-Christian nurses noticed, those who knew her, they noticed, "Carolyn, where's your Bible? You always bring your Bible." One of the nurses went and got one for her. The circumstances of her life in many ways were very ugly. But everyone who met her noticed a beauty in her life that could only be attributed to her relationship with the Lord. She believed that God was good. She pursued her relationship with God. She pursued the wisdom of a life lived in humble obedience to her Lord. She was blessed with a life that was a testimony to the grace of God. And it was beautiful for others to see. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. I think we all want to be wise. So what's the secret to finding wisdom? Believe that God's instructions are good and live in humble obedience to him. Let's pray. Father God, we do want to be wise. We want to live in a way that is honoring to you. We want our lives to be a picture of your glory and your grace. So Lord, as we have this series for the next few months where we are instructed by your word on how to live in wisdom, my prayer, Lord, is that we would believe that your instructions are good and that we would commit ourselves to obeying your word. And we ask this for your glory and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.